Check out my new book, Coping Courageously, a heart-centered guide for navigating a loved one's illness without losing yourself. It's appropriate for you as a clinician, for your patients, and for anyone you know who has a seriously ill loved one or an aging parent. Check it out and tell a friend. Welcome to the Integrative Palliative Podcast, where we help physicians and other clinicians master the art of integrative symptom management so they can wholeheartedly care for themselves as they expertly care for their patients. Welcome to the Integrative Palliative Podcast. I'm Dr. Delia Caramonti, and today we have a really special conversation, a little different than what we normally talk about, a very personal story that will touch your heart. Please allow me to welcome Chaya Lassen. Chaya is Director of Jewish Hospice and Palliative Care at Bridging Life, which is part of the LifeBridge healthcare system. She has 30 years experience as a registered nurse, but she's going to tell you a very personal story. Welcome, Chaya.
Thank you, Delia. So happy to be here.
You made an incredible decision to help someone in a way that most people don't. Tell us about this story.
Thank you. I'm so glad and grateful to have the opportunity to share my journey. It's something I wanted to do for 15 years, even before it became personal to our family. Come with me. I will share with you 15 years ago, it all started. We were sitting at a Passover program with our family, and a speaker spoke, and her title was, "Why I Donated My Kidney to a Stranger." And right away, my husband looked over to me and said, "You're going to do this one day."
He knew.
He knew.
Wow.
Fast forward a little, my father-in-law was in kidney failure. He was a diabetic and he needed a kidney. And all of the children, the biological children, tested and no one was a match. And at that time, the in-law children, if you will, did not go through the testing. At the end, he ended up getting a cadaver. He did incredibly well. I saw firsthand the lease of his life was just totally given back. Literally, it brought him back full-time working, exercising, enjoying life. And a way to be the grandfather and father and husband and a very impactful part of our community. And 10 years later, the kidney was no longer in that optimal state. And once again, he needed a kidney. This time, our family rallied around and all of us in-law children tested. And I personally was not a match. And a sister-in-law ended up donating the kidney right here in University of Maryland. But what I want to share with you is that there's an organization that's national called Renewal. And Renewal is the one who I did my kidney donation through. They match up donors with those who need it. And their match system is much more than other hospitals and centers require so that the donation is set up for the greatest success possible.
That's great.
So this is what happened. The Renewal organization came into Baltimore and they came to our synagogue and they did an awareness and they brought up to stage different people in our community, i.e. my father-in-law and sister-in-law, and showed a match. Wow. And others in the community. And then in the back, they had swab stations. No big deal. Literally like you take a Q-tip. There's nothing invasive. It's not a blood test. It's really, you don't even have to go somewhere. They were there in the back of the synagogue and everyone just swabbed who was interested. And this is where my journey began. So 4 years before I actually donated, I swabbed and then I left. I'm not such a righteous woman. I don't every day sit by the phone and say, "Why aren't they calling me?" Like, right. I go on with my life.
Right.
Fast forward 2 years. We're in the middle of COVID. Our grandson is born. We have a very small bris. And our family comes in from Riverdale. And my brother is an oncologist. He comes in with his beautiful children. And my niece isn't feeling well. Everyone had just had COVID, but they were all over it already. Unfortunately, they went home and it wasn't just time to get better. She was diagnosed with cancer, my little 7-year-old beautiful niece.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh.
And then she's doing great. She's in remission. Stay Good. Tuned. But Good. This is what happened. I and my family were like, we need to do something in her merit. And we all started trying to do whatever we know how to do, pray, give charity, do meaningful acts of kindness. And she's sick, terrible, in and out of the hospital. Anyone who's ever been touched by cancer knows how horrific, especially in a little child. Fast forward to the summer, we stop asking. We're all just praying and we're hoping for her recovery. And we don't want to impose any unnecessary feelings of anguish and grief. And we're silent and feeling helpless.
Yeah.
And one night in my parents' pool. And my friend shows up at the pool and she also donated her kidney altruistically.
Wow.
Just like I did to someone we don't know. And through this organization. And she says, Chaya, just came back from this incredible renewal dinner here in Baltimore. We're celebrating the partnership with Hopkins is going to join us. And now Johns Hopkins is also going to be a site to have renewal surgery. So I went to Cornell and most of them were in New York originally, most of the hospitals that Renewal worked with. And now they're expanding their reach nationally so that the person who's in kidney failure doesn't have to travel to New York. Wow. Not everyone lives in New York and New Jersey, right?
Right.
Exactly. I did have to travel to New York because the person I did donate to lives in New Jersey and that's where her doctor was. Wow. But what I want to share with you is what happened that night in the pool. And I said, Maggie, I'm so jealous of you. And I said, I swabbed and they never called me. Huh. And to that, she responded, Chaya, they never called you yet.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks later, I got called for renewal that I was a match.
Wow.
And to me, it was a lesson. It was a lesson that we have to, you know, we all are inspired. Every day we're inspired. But to me, it was that we have to actualize and verbalize and write it and speak it and bring it, our words to life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You brought it into being in that pool, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, and then as soon as they called me, I'm like, I'm in, I'm going to call my husband. I'm going to speak to my rabbi. I'm going to speak to my family. And everyone gave me their blessings. It took 9 months and we'll talk about why that was and setbacks and how we're not in charge of time, even though we think we are.
Right.
How much I learned that we're not in control. Right. I realized when I went into surgery on May 18th, that it had literally been 9 months from the time I got the phone call. And thus I coined it a labor of love, just like 9 months.
Yeah.
Bringing a newborn into our lives. I felt like I gave life to a person.
Let's stop it when you got the phone call that you were a match. What happened for you? What did that feel like? What did you think? Were you scared? Did you think maybe I don't want to do it? What was that like for you?
Those are great questions. Just so everyone should know, you can't just decide you want to do this and you do it. Okay, let's go backwards. Number one, there's nothing more important than family support. Just because of the recovery and the psychological piece, you could be the right person and it's not the right time. So know that.
Yeah.
My husband was like, I'm in. I right away said, I'm in. I had to speak to, we have six children. I called each one. I spoke to each child alone. I didn't want any peer pressure.
Yeah.
I didn't want my kids at home, my younger ones, to feel guilt. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be their good deed, their mitzvah. I told them it was part of, they get the merit because they're supporting me. It was just as much their incredible act of kindness as mine.
That's beautiful.
I had to go through an incredible amount of testing. So one good thing of doing this is, you know, you're incredibly healthy.
Right.
Because I had tests I would never normally have as a 52-year-old woman. Well, I was 51 at the time.
Yeah.
Every kind of invasive tests and things that we all push off, like, right? Like our pap smears. Well, hopefully we don't push those off. But even colonoscopy, things I might have not been as judicious, you know, following
right.
through.
Right.
And I had to go into New York and do an entire day of testing. Huh. And then the most important is the psychiatric evaluation.
Really?
So let's talk about that.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So the psychiatrist, you meet with a psychiatrist, you meet with a social worker. I mean, there is no pressure. They are there to support you. And if you want to back out at any time, that means that's what you should do.
Yeah.
Until the last minute, there is no pressure. So there's a tremendous amount of keeping the donor and the person who's actually going to be receiving the kidney completely separate. I didn't meet her until 2 weeks ago, and we'll talk about that.
Wow. Yeah.
But what I want to tell you is I had this incredible letdown because after I actually was told you're a perfect match, the date got pushed off once because the recipient wasn't as in good health that she needed to be. Mm-hmm. So she had to have a procedure and then have recovery. We set it for right after the New Year's, took my children away to Florida. I thought, let's have one hurrah. I'm going to take all the kids away. Literally the day before we left, I was coming back to do surgery. I got a call from the team at Cornell that they're canceling surgery because one of the lab results was a little bit higher than they wanted.
For you, one of your lab
results? For me. Yeah. But be with me for a moment. Join me to understand how incredibly disappointed I was. So much so that I was crying. And my children are like, what is wrong with you, mommy? You get the you get all of the extra points. You know, it says in Judaism, he who saves one life, it's as if he saved the entire world. Like, mom, you did it.
Right. You said yes. You get credit, right?
You're done. Let's run. And I was like, I'm so let down. I want to do this for the merit of my niece. Remember my young niece that we're all praying for who has cancer. I want to do this. This should be for her to have a speedy recovery. And I was so broken. And I fought with them. They didn't know what to do with me in Cornell. They're like, happy holidays. Hang up the phone.
You're like, please take my kidney. You have to take my kidney.
And I'm like, no. I'm like, well, we're canceling the surgery. I'm like, I want to speak to the nephrologist. Like, no. And then he called me and I said, what about me? You're telling me there's protein in my urine? Well, that's not okay. Let's do more testing. I'm a nurse.
Yeah.
What if it was a false positive? Right. What if I exercise too much? It could be anything. What if there's something wrong with me? So they're like, okay, fine. You can retest. Took a few weeks. It wasn't like the next day. And then they shared with me different rules, like of the game. Like no one told me not to exercise 3 days before. And it was completely fine. Now, part two, same person waiting for my kidney. No one else is a good match for this woman.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you about this woman. This woman is 79 years old. Now she turned 80.
Wow.
She's about to celebrate her 60th anniversary this coming up May.
Wow.
And so in Judaism, we believe that life is so precious and the value of life is of so utmost importance. And we don't really go on age. And so here she is, an incredible woman. Why shouldn't she be able to live? Like, yes, she's old. So what?
Right.
You know, she could live 20 more years with my kidney.
Sure.
So she can enjoy her children and her grandchildren and perhaps great grandchildren.
Yeah.
And what a merit to be a part of that. So fast forward, I get a call in February now, and I get a call that everything's fine. We can go ahead and schedule yet again surgery.
Okay.
Now here I have a dilemma. Here is my ethical dilemma. Let me share this with you. In the interim, our children in Israel are expecting twins. And our daughter-in-law had called us maybe 2 weeks prior in January, the end of January. She was high risk. She went to the doctor for a routine visit and they admitted her. And she's on complete bed rest with a 2.5-year-old.
Oh boy.
And these babies need to stay in. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, how do I now give of myself to, yes, family, but I have no idea who this family is. She's a Jewish woman. I don't know her.
Right.
My children need me. Potentially, they need me. They don't need me right now.
Right.
But we don't know from day to day.
Right.
We have to jump on a plane, help them, be there for a celebration. To me, it was just clear that God is the master of timing. I'm at a conference. I told you Jewish medical ethics. And I have leaders from all over the world. The greatest medical ethics. Physicians who are rabbis, who are legal experts. This is their domain. Mm-hmm. And I sit with a great rabbi, Dr. Professor Avraham Steinberg, who writes for, he wrote the encyclopedia in Israel about Jewish medical ethics. And here I have him face to face.
Wow.
And I'm like, Rabbi, help me out.
Did you ask him what to do? What do I do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I said, what is my obligation? Now I beg to do this.
Right.
But I also have my children miles away and help me, give me the blessing. What do I do? And I'm going to follow it.
Yeah.
And he asked questions and he said, she's on dialysis. So it's not like it's a case of life or death.
Okay.
Stay for your family first, always your family. And then if it's the right time, if someone else is not the right person, it will come back.
Okay.
They're not going to wait for you, but if no one else is a match.
Right.
But that's exactly what I did. We didn't do it. She gave birth. Healthy twins.
Yay.
On the eve of Passover. And healthy baby girls, and what a blessing. And I kept saying, you know, also in the merit of me wanting to do this, her babies should stay in. Mm. Healthy babies, healthy mommy, right?
Right.
And we jump on a plane right after Passover. We go to help our children. They have now a 2.5-year-old twin babies, and we spend a really nice chunk of time with them.
Nice.
And I arrive back Friday morning, and we go away for the weekend to be with our three single children, and literally, Monday, I do my pre-op and leave to New York.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Right?
Beautiful.
Didn't waste a moment. And I donated to the same exact woman.
She was waiting for you.
She didn't know that. That morning, my husband, this wasn't supposed to happen, but my husband somehow met her husband, because that's just what happens in the hallway, as you know, and figured out that he said to my husband, oh, your wife must be donating to my wife.
Wow.
And he said, I'm so happy because the last person had to cancel for personal reasons. And my husband said, no, she didn't cancel. It's the same person. So full circle, 9 months later, I donated my kidney in Cornell.
That is a remarkable story. So along the way, did you ever consider not doing it?
Never.
Really?
Not for a moment. Huh. I knew that I would do it. I didn't know when, but I knew that this was my, it was like an inner light, an inner drive, like a magnet saying, this is the right thing for you. And you're going to do this.
You needed to do it.
I needed to do it.
Yeah. Did you worry about your own safety?
Let's talk about this. So this is a really good question because this is what the psychiatrist said to me. You know, you fill out all this history. It's not just about you. It's about your parents and your family. And my father also has diabetes. And like, aren't you worried? There's so much kidney failure in your family. What if your husband would need your kidney, you know, your father? And I said, psychiatrist, I knew you'd ask me this question. And I had plenty of time to think about it. Yeah. Remember, I've been wanting to do this for 15 years. I said, yes, that is a very valid concern. And no, I hope and pray in the merit of me doing this altruistically, no one in my family will need a kidney. But if they do, there'll be someone else out there. Who says I'll be the match? Right. In my own family, none of the biological siblings or children were a match to my father-in-law. And just something to share with all of you, anyone who does donate a kidney, you get your family, your entire family, if God forbid they need a kidney donation, they get moved to the top of the list.
Really?
Yes. As a thank you. I mean, you don't get paid. There's no financial incentive here. Sure. There's no, you get a life, you know, you save a life, you give life, but you do get that incentive that you get moved to the top. So I hope we never need to cash out on that.
That's great. That's very interesting. I didn't realize that. That's very interesting.
So fair question.
So when you show up, so now you know you're going to do it. You're in the hospital and you're waiting to go into surgery. What's going through your mind then?
Oh, so back up 24 hours. We have to go to New York and leave our kids because this is in Cornell. That time we had two children, two teenage girls at home. And I think that was my biggest worry and fear of the entire surgery was leaving my children.
Sure.
I didn't want to leave them. If I could have done this, like in Hopkins or Maryland or somewhere local, it would have been like so much easier. So I'm so glad that they're expanding their reach because mm-hmm. I think that will personally help others be able to be part of this incredible act of kindness.
Sure.
So here I am in Cornell. Actually, here I am in New York. My husband and I get on a train. We get off the train and we don't know where we're going. And so we're just following the crowds. That's what you do when you get off in Penn Station, for those of you who've been in New York. Right. Well, that's not what you should do. You should know where you're going. You don't just follow people, right? So we get on the escalator and all I see in front of me, and this is from my mouth to yours, so you know it's not being made up, is a suitcase. The woman in front of me, and it says, National Kidney Donor Association.
Come on.
And I'm like, okay, God, I feel your kisses. Like I'm wow. going in the direction. It gets wow. crazier. I'm like just staring at the suitcase, not the woman. It's her back. I see her suitcase, right? Come upstairs. No idea where we're going. Again, just walking. I'm like to my husband, stop a minute. Let's pull up on our phone. Maybe we should be going left or maybe we should be going right. As we stop, a woman also stops. She's looking in my face. And she's wearing a t-shirt that says National Kidney Donor Association.
Wow.
And I say to her, excuse me, I can't help but notice your shirt, your suitcase. I'm here in New York to donate my kidney tomorrow morning to a stranger. And she says, I just came from DC. I was lobbying for kidney donors that their husbands and their and you like you and your spouse should be covered from your work, your place of work. To help encourage more people to donate their kidney.
Wow.
Okay, God, I'm following you. Hello, there's thousands of people in Penn Station. Why
are we? That is crazy.
Right?
Right.
I was like, okay, I'm with you. I'm not backing out. This is awesome, right?
So that was your sign. This is the right thing you're supposed to be doing.
I felt a hug. I felt kisses. Like, yeah. It was crazy. It wasn't normal. That's not normal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know the person. I still don't know her. And then off she went in her way and I went in mine. So how am I feeling? I woke up early that morning. All I wanted was a hotel with a pool because I said, before I go, I can't eat, right? But I'm going to go swim that morning. I'm going to, before I go into surgery, I'm going to move my body. So I have this peaceful, integrative mind-body experience.
Yeah.
And then I'll be sitting in bed for many hours after, you know, drugged. I was like just anxious and excited, ready to go.
Okay. So then you're waiting to go. They come get you to surgery. They bring you to the OR.
So let me tell you this. I'm a nurse. So I've been in the hospital many times. I used to work in the NICU, run into the OR, you know. I never saw someone walk into the OR with their own two feet. Usually they're on a stretcher right. or even in a chair, like a, you know, wheeled in. They're like, okay, let's go. And I'm like, I'm just walking in. Like, yeah, you're really healthy. Like, do you want a wheelchair? I'm like, no. This was so out of body, right? And I'm thinking, 1 minute, I could just walk out. Like, am I really doing this? But yeah. I didn't have any hesitation.
Did you think at the end about saying, never mind, or you?
No, I was like, let's get this party started. Awesome. The waiting was too long, you know, my IV's in, let's go. And they like say one thing to me and then I woke up and I was in the PACU. Wow. Okay. Yep. Like that was it.
Done. So the surgery, you don't remember it, but I'm assuming it went well. Yeah.
And the surgeon was incredible. Great. Not only did he do such an incredible job laparoscopic and that, you know, the healing was so easy. We can talk about the recovery.
Yeah.
But me and my husband just connected with him bedside or chair side before. And he was so incredibly culturally humble and sensitive. And he knew we were Sabbath observant, keep the Shabbos. And he knew sundown was Friday afternoon late. It was in the summer months. Mm. And here we came in Thursday morning. And he said, usually it's 48 hours, but you're so healthy. You might be able to leave here tomorrow. Wow. Would you like to leave?
Wow.
We won't kick you out. Do you have a place to go locally? And I said, yes, my brother, the oncologist, the one who's, I'm doing this in the merit of his daughter.
Wow.
Postscript, I had a complication, terrible IV infiltrate, textbooked. I mean, almost turned into compartment syndrome.
Oh boy.
Almost what got rolled back into surgery. But I did great and I stayed extra till Sunday. Had incredible care, not just nurses, because every single person who walked into my room. And I think that's important because it could be the person delivering your food. It could be the person picking up the garbage because it was those people.
Yeah.
I was vulnerable. I'm drugged, you know, I'm post out.
Yeah.
And if I needed something, they didn't say that's not my job. I didn't hear that once.
Nice.
They're like, let me get your nurse. Let me get someone to help you. So shout out to Cornell on that 14th floor. That was amazing.
So how was your recovery?
Can I indulge and share this incredible moment that happened on Saturday morning?
Sure.
So I should have already eaten Friday because my surgery was Thursday, but I didn't. Saturday morning, I wake up starving. So my son, he's 21 years old in a local college studying there in New York, sleeping on the couch and sleeping on bed there. My husband was amazing. Said, what do you want to eat? Of course, I didn't want to eat anything on the tray. Whoever wants to eat what's on their tray after, that's not your first food, right?
Right.
Sorry to all the dietary people out there. And it's Saturday morning and we're Sabbath observant and we're not like ordering in. So my son says, I'm going to go downstairs because there's a hospitality suite in the hospital that is kosher, sponsored by a nonprofit called Bikur Cholim in New York. And it's delicious food, fresh food delivered all the time. And it's food that I would want to eat. He thought I would want to eat on a Saturday Shabbos morning where we eat these traditional foods. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he's like, mommy, I'm going to go get you potato kugel. The reason I share this with you is I'm like, I don't think I want that. I see he wants to do something for me. And so this was another lesson I took out of this. Sometimes we have to allow people to help us.
Yeah.
Because that's the way they can support us.
Right.
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 So I said to him, yeah, go get that for me. That's amazing. So I said to my husband after he walked out, I do not want that. But I just saw he wanted to get it for me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can you go find a Chobani yogurt, some blueberries? I want some fresh food. That's what I want. That's a coffee. That's all I really want, you know?
Yeah.
And he did. Okay. Then my son comes back up. And he looks very traditionally observant, wearing a white shirt and a suit because it's the Sabbath. He comes up and he's holding fresh flowers, which normally we wouldn't have on the day of our Shabbos. Mm-hmm. And he's like, mommy, I have your kugel also. This is a crazy story. I have to tell you what happened. He said, I got on the elevator and there's a Sabbath elevator and the elevator stops at every floor in some hospitals.
Sure.
So people who are Sabbath observant don't have to push the button.
Right.
But if you're not Sabbath observant, you do not. My friends, do not get on that elevator. It stops on the floor, right? And he sees this, my son sees this man walk on the elevator. And the man is very upset. He's visibly angry and disgruntled. Mm-hmm. He starts telling my son, this is ridiculous, the security here. And I waited on a long line and I got permission to see my wife and I have a visitor pass. I went out to get her flowers. Then they made me wait online again. Like, why am I waiting on a line again? I just left her to get the flowers. There should be a different line that if you already were in. And my son's like trying to just listen. Mm-hmm. But he says, excuse me, sir. I just wanted to tell you, this is a Sabbath elevator and it stops at every floor. He didn't want this man to be upset again, but like, what is going on with this hospital? Why does the elevator stop on every single floor?
Right.
Then the man says, okay, that's all right. He says, have you ever heard of renewal? And then my son says, renewal? That's all I've been hearing for 48 hours.
Wow.
My mother just donated her kidney to a stranger through renewal. And the man, this irate man, says to my son, "Are you from Maryland?" And he says, "Yes." He says, "Your mother just donated her kidney to my wife.
Oh my God.
Here are the flowers. And this is why God put me on this elevator." And he walked out.
Wow.
This was my recipient's husband giving the flowers to my son for me. Is that the craziest?
Oh my gosh, I have chills. Wow.
It is crazy. I cry now telling it to you because,
yeah,
again, it was such an embrace of this is amazing and like this is holy and this is great and you're going to do great. Whatever hardships you have, whatever obstacles, you're on the road to recovery.
Yeah. It was a sort of a universal validation that this was an important thing that you just did.
Yeah.
This was a holy thing you just did.
So that's, he comes up to the room on our Shabbos, on our Sabbath, on the holy day of the week with flowers, which we normally wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
And we put them down after Sabbath. We put them in water. Postscript kept these flowers alive for a long time and they're being dried and I'm actually making them a gift in resin.
That's beautiful.
That was incredible, right?
Yeah. What a great story. Thank you so much for sharing that story. Wow. Okay. So this is amazing that you did this. You are now done. Do you have any feelings once it's done? Do you have sort of a letdown feeling or is it a high feeling? Is it all the feelings? Tell us what that's about.
Well, first I have to get home. That was challenging. Renewal supports you as the donor and your entire family, whatever you need. If you need to be covered for loss of wages, cleaning help, takeout food,
oh, wow,
something special for your children, anything that you could possibly need, all your travel expenses,
oh, really?
Everything covered by Renewal.
Oh, that's great.
They sent my kids candy and they pay for food meal prep so you don't have to worry, cleaning help when you come home.
Wow.
So you can focus on just getting better.
That's amazing. So
you do get better because you don't need to take care of all those other things.
You know what I love about that too, is that they're recognizing that it's a family experience. It's not
exactly.
Just a new experience.
Yes. But getting home was a challenge. So I was determined to drug myself for a few hours, sit in a car and get home. It was a hard trip.
Because you had pain? Is that what you mean? It was hard because it was painful?
Nauseous and every bump was really painful. I'm not one to like to take drugs anyways. So I probably didn't drug myself enough. Back up a day, I go to my brother's home in Riverdale. I leave the hospital and my little niece, my little Evie, comes into my bed. And now she's 8 years old and she says, "How are you doing, Echaya?" And I say to her, "I'm doing great." And I said to her, "You know, I did this that it should be a merit for your recovery. You know that, sweetie." And she looks at me as only a little young, pure child. And she's like, "Echaya, I already have like a complete recovery," she says to me. Wow. In Hebrew, I say to her, "Refua Shalema," means speedy recovery. She says, "I already have a Refua Shalema." Wow. I'm just like crying, like,
oh.
A little kid. She thinks she's better. She's done her chemo and radiation. That's it.
Yeah.
New lease on life.
Yeah.
And she's doing incredible. And she should continue to just, her hair's growing back. She goes to school every day. That's all she wanted was to be a kid, right?
Yeah.
So that's what gave me strength. Like, this was amazing. The first week was really tough. So even walking down the block in the beginning was so hard. And I pushed myself to do it. Mm-hmm. Sneezing.
Painful, huh? Yeah.
Awful sneezing. You have to brace yourself, right?
So how long do you think until you felt mostly like yourself? Not perfect, but how long was that? I'm at home and I'm struggling.
0 to 1 was really hard.
Yeah.
1 to 2 was significantly better, but still challenging.
Okay.
Maybe at 2 weeks, I pushed myself more. Maybe I'd say other people 3.
To give someone who might be considering it an idea, somewhere around 2 to 3 weeks, you'll be a little bit out of commission. Yeah.
Yes. Anyone who wants to contact me or has ever thought about donating a kidney, it really was incredibly easy because of this organization that supported me and my family.
That's amazing. And so it sounds like, and I'm going to ask you in a second about the person that you met, but it sounds like you don't regret it. Was there any point along this journey where you felt you shouldn't have done it or it was a bad idea? Anything, anytime that happened for you?
I've never personally had that go through my head. I think the only regret I have is that I can't do it again.
Yeah. Don't do it again. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't have an extra kidney now.
No,
I wish I had 3.
Keep the one you have. Don't give that one away. So now you met the recipient of your kidney, right? Tell us about that. Tell us briefly about that.
Okay. So 2 weeks ago, we drove to New Jersey and it was incredible. It was so unbelievably intimate. and special. I met me and my husband, met her and her husband. It was just overwhelming joy.
It must be hard for her to know what to say to you.
Yeah. She brought me a gift. She bought me a necklace with their locket. I'm not sure what I should put in it. A kidney? Like, I'm not really sure what I'm going to put with the date of the surgery. But I told her forever our lives are intertwined. Forever. Yeah. Our souls are intertwined. Right. Forever. You know? We're one. And I look forward to meeting her children and grandchildren. And I want my children and grandchildren to meet her family.
So will you stay in touch with her?
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
They hope to do a big 60th anniversary and hope to include our family.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that vision of you being intertwined because you really are, right?
Yeah.
A part of you is there. So you are intertwined.
Exactly. Physically. Exactly.
So if anyone is considering doing this, what advice do you have for them?
Ask all the questions. There is no question that's not a good question. Involve your family when you yourself are ready to do this, because you're going to always have naysayers in your family. And so you have to be committed. And so you have it all sorted out with your own self before you bring in your family. Mm. And expect that there'll be some people that aren't as rah-rah cheerleading. But don't let them get in your way if you really want to do this. Obviously, if it's your husband or your intimate, but you might have friends or that are well-meaning. And just know that sometimes it's the right thing, but it's not the right time.
Yeah.
And so our family learned that along this journey, that really God's the master of timing. And so multiple times we thought we were in control. We know when this is going to be. We're going to schedule it when it's good for us, you know?
Right. Right. And then the universe takes over and it is, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So if your immediate family had said, please don't do it, would you have done it?
It's a great question. I was really worried that my parents weren't going to be as supportive. My father-in-law was crying tears. He already had two kidneys. Of course he wanted me to do it.
Sure.
Pay it forward, right?
Right.
I was worried my parents would be not as magnanimous because maybe they'd worry about me. They're my parents.
Sure.
And maybe they'd worry, but what if my, need it in personal in our family? Like, why are you giving it away?
Right.
And I spoke with our rabbi about this because he's very close with my father and mother on how to have the conversation. Because often it's not what we say, but it's how it's approached and where and when. I didn't ask them for permission. I told them I was doing this.
Before we close, I think that's a great thing to share. If someone is considering this, what guidance do you have for them about how to bring it up with the people in their family?
You could say this is something that has piqued my interest and I've looked into it, looked into the medical part of it and recognized that everything comes with risks. Mm-hmm. And I've really evaluated personally what this means to me. You know, there's benefits versus burdens, validating, acknowledging that these are things that could go wrong, but the statistics are incredibly high.
For safety.
Yeah. You're going to get better really quickly.
Yeah.
They're not taking the people that have extra comorbidities or.
So when you're communicating, it sounds like you're telling them why it's so important to you. You're telling them that you've evaluated the risks, but the risks are pretty low because you're a healthy person.
Yeah.
Anyone who gets accepted is healthy. Anything else that you would share as part of that conversation?
I would say that I hear your concerns. And I worry that you are just thinking about the worst possible outcome. And I would invite you to speak with some people who've done this. Mm-hmm. Why don't you speak to a spouse or a family member? So it's not just from me. You hear it from others. And because your concerns are very valid.
Right.
I think you need to validate how they feel.
That's a really good point. That's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you for that. Any last things about this experience or about the idea of kidney donation that you want to share?
I think that if this is something that piques your interest, whether you know someone personally, or now that you're hearing this, you're like, I want to learn more about this. Maybe I can share with you the link to renewal and you could go on and read about and see the statistics of renewal and understand how important it is to be able to save a life. And really, I'm doing incredible. I could do anything. I'm back to myself, cycling, exercising. So much blessing has come to my life, our life, our family. Our son got engaged in the interim. He got married. I just feel like so much blessing. And it's just the beginning. I feel like more to come.
Beautiful. Do you know the website for Renewal in case someone is interested in contacting them?
Yes, sure. It is renewal.org. And it says here on the website, all the information about becoming a donor, if you need a kidney, about Kidney Donation, what we do, who we are, and just to contact us for more information. Renewal provides kidney patients the tools and information they need to find a living donor, from tailor-made seminars and advice on how to search for a donor. They literally hold your hand every step of the way. Every person gets their own dedicated coordinator from Renewal, who is there with the hospital liaison to support them and their family. And I want to close with sharing, on January 7th, Renewal is going to have a historic gathering in New Jersey, an incredible, festive, lavish celebration of 1,000 kidney donations.
Wow.
So that's incredible.
In 2024.
1,000 kidney donors, and the list keeps growing. So if you're interested in learning anything about how this could be maybe something for you, how it may touch your life personally or professionally, I'm happy for people to reach out. My email is C Lassen, C-L-A-S, like Sam, S-O-N as in Nancy, C Lassen at lifebridgehealth.org. And we can probably put that in our chat.
Yep. I'll put that in the show notes as well. Chaya, thank you so much for sharing this incredibly meaningful and powerful story with us. Thank you.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I'm so grateful. And thank you to all that you do, Delia. You are a role model and a real hero when it comes to healthcare professionals on how to care and heal and help people in the most integrative, collaborative way. And I say thank you to you.
Well, thank you for that. One thing that really strikes me about this incredible conversation that we had is that you continue to put good into the world, because maybe somebody listening, either now or in the future, right? Podcasts stick around. Maybe somebody listening decides, you know what, I'm going to do that, and somebody else's life gets saved. So thank you, Chaya.
How appropriate to close with that, because I always tell my children, you never know the seeds you sow.
Exactly.
Right? And some of us, we merit. It's a blessing to actually know, you know, what happens, but often we go through our whole life, we don't know.
Yeah.
And the impact. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to blast and broadcast this incredible, incredible merit that our family has had.
Well, you are a special person, and I'm so grateful that you shared this with us. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I think we'll just close right there. My guidance for you this week is just to sit with this story and let it warm your heart and see what it inspires in you. Thanks so much. This podcast is brought to you by the Integrative Palliative Institute. Visit our website, integrativepalliative.com. There you can access physician and clinician training, well-being coaching, free downloads, and other cool stuff. And feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn and share your favorite episode with a friend.